So pleased to welcome to the show right now our good friend from ESPN, Sal Palantonio. Sal, welcome to the show.
Vic, I hope everybody's having a great holiday weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you and yours. And it's going to always be a great holiday day, or I should say Thanksgiving day, because of football, obviously. And some really good matchups, maybe extraordinarily good for this day. And let's start talking about those Packers-Lions. There's a fair amount of folks who look at this Lions team, and as well as they've played, and as great as the Packers are, see this as the maybe the opportunity for the Packers to be knocked off.
Well, I think it's more of an opportunity for the Lions to survive. I mean, I look at the Lions, and I see a team that is spiraling a little bit out of control, and they need to really win this game for their season more than to worry about whether the Packers are going to be knocked off the unbeaten perch. I mean, the Lions now have great opportunity because Cutler's out, and the Bears are going to be struggling at the quarterback position. And notice how I said specifically struggling at the quarterback position, because I think the Bears are going to be fine elsewhere.
Okay.
So this is an opportunity for the Lions, I think, to really make a statement that they are in the conversation for the postseason. They're at home. Everybody's going to be watching. And, you know, they beat the Packers in week 14 last year. It was a little bit of a fluke game, 7-3. It was much different. I don't think Stafford played in that game, if I'm correct. So here's the thing about the Lions, though. They have won three games this season after trailing by 17 points. They're the first team in NFL history with three 17-point comebacks in a season. That's according to Elias. I just got that number this morning because I knew you were going to ask me about that. They can't do that in this game, Vic.
Right.
They can't go down 17, and they've been lucky a little bit. They can't go down 17 points to the Packers and hope to beat the Packers. So they have to start out strong, play well, don't turn the ball over, and play smart, and make a statement about who they are.
The other intriguing matchup, or second maybe most intriguing matchup of Thanksgiving Day, is the brothers going head-to-head, the Harbaugh brothers, the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh having an outstanding year there, and John Harbaugh of the Ravens. What do you look at with that game?
Well, I think it's so hard to beat the Ravens at home. There are only three teams unbeaten at home, the Saints, the Packers, and the Ravens. Ravens are 5-0 at home this year, and they've won seven straight at home. They have a terrific home field advantage at M&T Bank Stadium. You've been there. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like at M&T Bank Stadium. It's as tough as a place to play as Cleveland and Pittsburgh these days. And you add the fact that they're also very good, as we know, and Ray Lewis, whether he plays or not, I think they're going to be okay on defense against the Niners. The question is, on offense, do they have enough?
Right.
I mean, I covered two of the Niners' wins this year, and I can't tell you how impressed I was by two guys, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. They got this guy in the secondary, Chris Culliver, who is just a tremendous ball hawk, and their front seven is something to deal with. They're very active. They're very energetic. Vic Fangio has, and you know him well.
Yes.
He's got a great, great stunt package where he loops the ends into the A-gaps, and that's something that's going to bother Flacco. Flacco's not good with the rush in his face. I mean, no quarterback is, but Flacco's not good because he doesn't have the lateral movement that Ben Roethlisberger does.
Right.
So
right.
Teams, and you've seen it because you've seen a lot of AFC North games, teams come at Flacco from the A-gaps and try to flush him out of the pocket. And the way he gets out of the pocket is not like Big Ben, where his feet are set and moving in the direction of throwing the ball. But he sort of backpedals and winds up throwing the ball off his back foot, and that's where you get the picks that you don't get. Now, Flacco, it shouldn't be a problem for Flacco. He's as big and as strong as Roethlisberger, but he doesn't know how to slide step in the pocket, and it's a big issue. Every team around the league knows it. And the Niners obviously are going to come right at Flacco.
Yeah, it does seem like a matchup that favors the Niners' strength versus a weakness of this Ravens team, except for the fact, as you say, that they're playing at home. That's their best advantage on Thanksgiving. As we look at the game you're going to be assigned to for ESPN, you're going to be at Philadelphia, your home area there, of course, for the Patriots when they come to town Sunday. Let's talk about this. A, have the Eagles saved their season? And B, are we more convinced now that the Patriots are the team in the AFC, in a pretty wide open AFC?
No, the Eagles have not saved their season. And yes, the Patriots are headed towards home field advantage. I don't know if they win this game, the Patriots. This is their toughest game on their schedule remaining. But I want to point out one specific thing that I saw on Monday night when they played the Kansas City Chiefs. Beginning of that game, everybody saw it on national TV. The Chiefs were hitting Brady.
Right.
They were getting in his face, and more important, they were getting around his ankles and his knees. Brady hates that. He hates the low rush. You can hit Brady in the shoulder pads, in the helmet, strike him in the crown of the head. He's not going to care. He doesn't like his feet dirty in the pocket.
Right, right.
No quarterback does, but Brady's got that knee injury that knocked him out. He's very, very vulnerable to that. And I think that's what the Eagles are going to try to do. This is a Jim Washburn game, the defensive line coach of the Eagles, and that wide nine set on their front. Get after Brady all game long, hit him, make his feet dirty in the pocket, make him think about how long he's holding on to the football, and then, for crying out loud, find a way to double-team Rob Gronkowski. Because this guy is... I never seen anything like it. Have you, Vic?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've known the kid since he was in grade school. He went to school with my younger daughter and spent a lot of time around our house watching him. But I think
really?
By middle,
where
yeah.
Where was this? What town was this?
In Western New York. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, outside of Buffalo. But when he was in middle school to junior high, he was starting to tower over me. But he, you know, the deal is he was in my kitchen one day as a, I don't know, an eighth or ninth grader, and he said, "Someday, Mr. Carucci, you're going to write a paper about me, a paper." So I said, "Well, hopefully it's a lot more than a paper." But yeah, and he had that vision. He knew he was going to be a great player in the NFL.
What are they feeding over there in Western New York?
I don't know. Something in the water. But anyway, he's
sure when he went to the Carucci house, it was plenty of lasagna and ravioli.
There's no question. My wife fed all the kids very well when they came over. That's why they'd come over. It was a great place.
Yeah, you can't get once you start feeding the boys, they don't stop.
They don't stop.
Daughters, and you start feeding them, they never leave.
So, and we are visiting, by the way, Sal Palantonio from ESPN, author of a great book, How Football Explains America. You want to get that for put it on your gift list for the holiday season. A tremendous book. I've read it actually twice because I love how you've articulated that whole concept of football and its relationship with explaining this country and this country's love for the game. To talk a little bit about the another story, Sal, that's been huge, obviously, it doesn't go away, is Tim Tebow. And lately now we've got, or the most recent chapter, is John Elway more or less saying that he's not at all convinced that this is his guy, and yet this guy is keeping this Bronco team very much in contention.
I was really angry about John Elway, and I was angry about John Fox. Both of them. When John Fox blurted out to that reporter, I forget who it was, where he said if Tebow, we were running any other offense, he'd be screwed. And then for Elway, after the guy goes out there and wins that ball game, Tebow, for him to go out, and it's one thing to scout quarterbacks and say, hey, we're doing our due diligence. We're doing our homework for our franchise. That's all you had to say, Vic.
Right.
That's all you had to say was, hey, I'm working as the president and GM of this organization to find the best players, and I'm out scouting all the players. But to disrespect your quarterback like this is really, to me, misguided, foolhardy and misguided. Let me just – I was reading this Woody Page's column in the Denver Post. Tebow is the only quarterback in Broncos history to beat the Raiders and the Chiefs on the road in back-to-back games. He's won 4 of 7 overall that he started. His predecessor, Kyle Orton, who's now gone,
right,
won 4 games in the last 18 he started. Tebow has won more games in 2011 as a starter than the three quarterbacks John Fox started for the Panthers last year.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you want? Here's the thing about Tebow. One, he's good for the franchise, puts fannies in the seats.
Sure.
Two, he's good for the team. He's re-energized the team. So he's good for football. So what's bad about Tim Tebow? I don't get it. Is he a poor passer? Yes. But so was Peyton Manning his first year and Troy Aikman his first year. And, oh, by the way, John Elway didn't have a great start when he was the starter as a rookie for the Denver Broncos. Does Tebow have problems with his mechanics? Yes. So guess what? Teach him and make him get better.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you would trash this guy. I love him. I think he's just great for the league. He's a great story. He's great for the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And it doesn't seem like you need to make those sort of those committal, the commitments, I guess, via media. Think whatever you want to think internally. But, yeah, it does seem to, and it's sending, I think, lots of mixed messages to not only Tim Tebow, but to the football team.
Would you ever see Mike Holmgren saying something like that or Andy Reid saying something like that about the quarterback of your football team, that if we were running another offense, he'd be screwed? I've covered Andy Reid for 13 years, and the much maligned Andy Reid, and I've been critical of him certain things, but the one thing you'll never, ever, ever hear from a guy like Andy Reid or Holmgren or anybody or Shanahan, guys like that, you know, you have to have, first of all, when you're dealing with your players, you have to have in mind the fact that these are men who are trying to make a living,
right,
and this is their job. And you wouldn't disrespect a teacher if you were the principal or the janitor. Or you wouldn't, if you were running UPS, you wouldn't disrespect one of your truck drivers. I mean, it just makes common sense.
Yeah.
And I just, Tebow's, if you read PFT, and I read it every day, five, mm-hmm, six times a day.
Pro Football Talk, yeah.
Column on PFT. Vic, it's anything with Tebow in is the most viewed thing on his site every week.
No, it's money.
I was in Dick's Sporting Goods. I went to Best Buy to pick up a few things yesterday to beat the rush. I go into Dick's Sporting Goods and a guy comes up to me and introduces himself. He's with his young son. It was last night, and they're buying some football gear, the kid's a young kid. He's like 6-7 years old. And the kid picks up a football, and the son says, Dad, look, I got a football, and I'm holding it like Tim Tebow. I'm going to be the next Tim Tebow.
Wow.
This is in Jersey.
I was going to say, that's powerful stuff. No, it is. It's the reach. It's the, you know, it is what it is. And I want to, before I let you go, by the way, Sal, I've got to ask you, get your perspective, because I know you follow every team, but I know you have a little special place for this Browns team, because we've talked about it on and off the air. Just your take on, obviously, coming off a win now, the fourth of the season, really needed to get something positive going here. What do you see of this football team at this juncture?
Well, I mean, you look at it, and they've only gone north of 20 points scored once this season, week two, against the bad Indianapolis team. They're just having a difficulty scoring points and getting production on offense, and I know that's got to drive a guy like Pat Shurmur absolutely up a tree every day. He's an offensive-minded guy who came out of the Andy Reid school of thought. He's got a young quarterback that they believe in, and I got to imagine this team has got to retool itself offensively, get some playmakers on offense, and obviously they've got to do a better job of covering in the secondary and getting a better pass rush overall. I mean, those are the two areas that they've got to attack.
Right.
In the NFL, you have to score points and you have to play pass defense. If you don't play those, if you don't have those two elements, you're going to struggle, which is what their situation is. Now, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, and I do like the Browns a lot, and they have a special place for me because I think Holmgren is a quality guy. I think he should have been commissioner of the National Football League, and I really like the coaching staff there. And I've met Colt McCoy, and I think he's a special young man who's got great talent. And I think at this point, they've got to focus on, okay, what are we going to do to put the ball in the end zone? That's it. Mm-hmm. That should be from Holmgren to Heckert to Shermer all off season. What are we going to do to upgrade, and how do we get the ball in the end zone?
Great stuff, Sal. We appreciate it. He is Sal Palantonio from ESPN, author of How Football Explains America. Pick that up for the holidays. It's a great, great book. And I just want to wish you and your family all the best for Thanksgiving. We look forward to talking with you down the line.
Well, listen, you know, you said you were going to call me all the time. You called me in August, and now it's in November. What's going on? I thought I was going to be more. I love being on your show. Come on.
Well, you know what? I know our audience loves you. You just signed yourself up for a regular stint here, buddy. Good.
All right.
Thank you, brother. Thank you,
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, man. All right. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.